go.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine I can see. All in my, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
We are in a discipleship study, and as disciples we are called to always be ready to give a defense. 1 Peter chapter 3, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. We are in our part of our apologetic study of being a disciple and having the answers for people. We are in the part of looking at Jesus Christ. So far in our study of Jesus, we understand He is the door that we all must enter. He's the only way on God's side. Jesus is God in human flesh. Jesus declared it Himself. The apostles declared it. The Old Testament and New Testament declare Him to be God. Jesus not only claimed to be God, He did what only God can do. He regularly forgave sins, and He received worship as God. We've also looked at the gospel in the Old Testament, because many skeptics today say the New Testament was embellished, and all these things were added to the New Testament as Jesus being God, the virgin birth, the miracles, and the resurrection. But we looked at the Old Testament that were written 600 years to 1400 years before the New Testament times, before the life of Christ, and we saw all of it in the Old Testament, foretold to us. Everything. There's no way they could have embellished the Old Testament. And they didn't embellish the New Testament either. We looked at the plan of salvation that God had created before the foundations of the earth. Then we looked at the evidence for the empty tomb. And we looked at the resurrection promises because the tomb is empty. We have, I think, 9 more sections to go in our study of Jesus Himself. It's going to easily take us through the new year. By the time we're done with this study, we should be very equipped. We should know our Lord Jesus Christ even better, and we should be very equipped to talk to people about Jesus, because that's what we're committed to do. Now, one of the most, probably one of the most famous statements of Jesus is Jesus said, "I am the way." Today, there are many faith systems out there that say they're the way. So today we're going to look at Jesus. The only way, or just one of the ways? Again, we need to be ready to share with people who Jesus really is. And a lot of people have heard that there are many ways to the Father, to God, to heaven. And we got to be able to talk about this. You know, but looking at this subject, I'm curious. What do the other belief systems out there think of Jesus? Who do they say He is? What do they say about Him? So, what? I heard somebody out there. Oh, a good teacher, that's right. Well, let's see if Ryan's correct today. Let's start with Islam. All right, Islam. Play the next video.
We say Jesus was not God, nor was He the Son of God, nor was He the Father of Trinity, nor was He crucified. He was an honored messenger born to Mary without a father by the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of the Creator, who had before Him already created Adam and Eve, and who had created every single one of us. The power of the same Maker created Jesus and allowed Him to speak from the cradle and clarified who He was and gave Him the Torah and gave Him the Bible and told Him to teach the people. And later on, He had so many miracles that were manifest with His hands that Allah had granted Him permission to do and to show the people. Those who accepted were successful and those who rejected had failed. And thereafter they planned to kill Him. And when they planned to kill Him, they were in confusion as to who exactly they crucified, because Allah took Him away well before they could harm Him. That, in a nutshell, is the life of Isa alayhi salam.
Okay, so that's Islam. What they believe in a nutshell about Jesus. Now, we would disagree with many of the things they just said, that Imam just said, but they're... Next slide, Levi. Islam holds Jesus in high regard. They really do. He's a prophet to them. One of the greatest prophets. They describe him as a wise teacher. Muslims acknowledge Jesus was divinely sent as a wise teacher. They even believe that Jesus ascended to heaven in bodily form. And they believe Jesus will return. It's in their teachings. Jesus Christ will return. But he'll return as a Muslim serving the greater prophet, Muhammad. But what they do describe him as a prophet, they call him a wise teacher. They say Jesus was given the Bible. That's what he said, given the Bible to teach. Okay. And Jesus will come again. Okay. Let's look at the Baha'i faith. Play the next video.
In just over 160 years, the Baha'i faith has grown from an obscure movement in the Middle East to the second most widespread religion in the world, embracing people from more than 2,000 ethnic, racial, and tribal groups. Its unity challenges prevailing notions about human nature and our common future. Here in America, there are more than 150,000 Baha'is. They share a belief that peace can be established through unity and an appreciation for diversity. Across the country, Baha'is are putting this vision into action at the local level. They are partnering with their neighbors and bringing together people of all ages and backgrounds to create more vibrant, empowered communities. Baha'u'llah proclaimed the unity of religious truth, which has unfolded over time through a succession of divine teachers. He taught that Abraham, Moses, Christ, and Muhammad were all messengers of God. Each brought to light religious and spiritual truths, which propelled the evolution of civilization. Baha'i teachings also count Krishna, Buddha, and Zoroaster among the prophets of God. Baha'u'llah confirmed the oneness of humankind and stressed the need to eliminate prejudice of every kind.
Okay, so you can take from that video, next slide, Levi. Baha'i is an all-inclusive. You can believe whatever you want. They just believe it all basically comes under one God. You can believe really whatever you want, or you can just have a mixture. But what they do believe is Jesus came from God. Jesus spoke for God. And Jesus is a divine teacher. Now, you guys ever heard of the Hare Krishna airports? Sometimes. Now, they're a sect of Hinduism, all right? Hinduism is a very vast belief system. But I want you to listen to this next video. Go ahead.
So I grew up in a traditional Christian household, and I found myself very attracted to the teachings of Jesus, but in my experience of Christianity, I had a lot of unanswered philosophical questions. And because of this, over time, unfortunately, I became an atheist. And gradually, as I started growing up in my later teenage years, I started to seek spirituality again. And so I picked up the Bible, and I was doing some research, becoming reacquainted with Jesus. And in that time, I began praying to God for guidance, and I actually met the Hare Krishna devotees. And through them, I discovered that Jesus is actually viewed as a pure devotee of God who was sent by God to the material world in order to attract people to spiritual life, to come back to God, to be with God. And to me, this was really poignant because, for one, Jesus is highly revered within Krishna consciousness. He's seen actually as our spiritual teacher. And the founder of the Hare Krishna movement quoted him very frequently in his commentaries. And for that reason, I could understand that the philosophy behind Krishna consciousness is very non-sectarian. And it's understood that God or his representatives come at different times, to different places, for different reasons. And he approaches everyone to try and attract all of us. So since coming into Krishna consciousness, I feel that I've become actually a better and more enthusiastic follower of Christ than I ever was before. And I find actually great joy in reading the teachings of Jesus.
Now, I'm not using this sermon to counter any of the things you're hearing in these videos. I just want you to hear what they're saying about Jesus. I could do probably 4 or 5 sermons on just her video alone, okay? But that's not the purpose today. A lot of key phrases and a lot of key words in there, but we won't go there. Play the next video.
Question: Who is Jesus Christ according to ISKCON's philosophy? Answer: Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he sacrificed his life to spread the teachings of God. He is a powerful devotee of God and was an example of compassion, tolerance, and other qualities of a pure teacher. Those who sincerely follow his teachings will make spiritual progress. He taught the essence of bhakti, to love God fully and to love others as his children. Thank you very much. Please chant Hare Krishna and be happy.
Next slide, Levi. So, they believe Jesus is highly revered. Jesus was sent by God and a full devotee to God. Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus is a spiritual teacher. Now, one thing I will say to correct that one video, Jesus did not die to spread the teachings of God. He came and he died for the sins of the world. Okay? Let's look at Hinduism. Next slide.
Do Hindus believe in Jesus? In Hinduism, Jesus is seen more as a wise teacher or a guru than as a figure of worship. While Hindus generally do not worship Jesus as part of their religious practice, many respect his teachings and consider his philosophies to align with various aspects of Hindu thought. This respect for multiple paths to spirituality allows for an appreciation of Jesus' moral and ethical teachings without necessitating a belief in his divinity as central to their faith.
All right, so quickly, Bob. Hinduism teaches basically a number of things depending on what sect of Hinduism you're talking to. But Jesus basically is a holy man or a guru, master teacher. And the many will say Jesus is a wise teacher. Well, let's look at Buddhism.
Jesus and the Buddha. As a Buddhist monk and a former Christian, I have a close relationship with both the teachings of the Buddha and the teachings of Jesus. And although they were born 500 years apart, and they were situated geographically in those times a long way apart, they were at that time connected by the Silk Road. The Silk Road being the motorway from the east to the west, from the west to the east. And the then internet of the time, the communication route for people living in the east and the people living in the west. The time aspect of 500 years between their living era is, because of the teachings, again, shortened. You see, the teachings of the Buddha, the teachings of Jesus, they are timeless. And 500 years is nothing in timelessness.
Okay. Excellent. There you go, Lira. So, Jesus, you listen to the teachings of the people who are into Buddhism. Jesus is an enlightened man. He was a holy man, and again, he was a wise teacher. And even that gentleman right there said Jesus' teachings are timeless. Jesus is seen as someone who has possessed the correct perspective, another individual said. All right, what about the Sikhs, Sikhism? What do they believe about Jesus? Go ahead.
The last point is about Jesus Christ and what would be the Sikh view. Now, as far as the Guru Granth Sahib is concerned, we don't have anything about Christ. Christ's writings are concurring with the Guru's writings about humility, about love. If you read the Lord's Prayer, it's beautiful. So, as far as we're concerned, we would say that Christ was a sant. A sant meaning he's a saint. As a holy person who has access to that divine truth and is enlightened. And he also had the power to do those miracles that he obviously did. However, we don't believe that he's the only begotten son of the Creator.
Alright, Sikhism believes he's a saint, an enlightened one, a miracle worker, a holy one, and Jesus had access to divine truth, godly truth. How about New Age? So, get ready, because this New Age is... Well, you'll see. Let's just
welcome to Apologetics with Carl Kirby. The New Age movement is full of error from its promotion of reincarnation to its idea that man can become a god. But what does the New Age movement say about Jesus Christ? Well, it's actually pretty weird. First, it teaches that Jesus and Christ are different. Jesus was an ascended master, just one great teacher among many. The cosmic Christ, a universal presence that can lead one to a higher state of consciousness, came on Jesus, taking him to a higher spiritual level. Supposedly, this spiritual Jesus continues to give special instructions to New Agers through channelers. But the Bible says that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal Son of God who came to earth, lived a sinless life, and died as a sacrifice for our sins before rising again from the dead and ascending to heaven. What a contrast. Next time, we'll talk about a related worldview which is called deconstructionism. Until then, for more resources, go to hopetools.net and stay bold.
Stop. Don't go forward, Levi. So New Age really comes out of Hinduism. It takes a lot of Hinduism. But New Age, you'll hear the term, people say, well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. You ever heard that? Okay. Spirituality is what they're seeking. This is the New Age movement. And the New Age movement is a blend of all sorts of things. And it can be different for every person. There's no set rules here for New Age movement. But it really relies on Hinduism, occult practices, which is basically Hinduism itself. But they end up taking what they like. And that's what all these religions have been doing. They've been taking pieces of Jesus that they like. Certain teachings, but not all the teachings. And New Age blends different parts of different religions and a little bit of Christianity. And they come up and they bought into the lie that the serpent told Eve. You can be like God. This is safe for a lot of people because they feel, well, I'm taking a little bit from here and there. I believe a little bit of everything and then I'm good. God can't be wrong because I, you know, all these things can't be wrong. So if I take a little bit here and there, God will be good with me. No. But here's hardcore New Age. Not everyone is as, I'm trying to come up with a good word, not mean. Well, you'll see. Play the video.
Do you see how crazy the world is? People are worshiping a god in the sky and trying to get to the kingdom when they die, when the truth is, they're God and they're already in the kingdom. It's like becoming lucid in a dream. You're in the dream the whole time, but you don't realize it until you have a shift in consciousness and become lucid. Then you realize you're in a dream and it's your world to rule. This is what Jesus means when he says, when you discover the secret, you will be disturbed, then astonished, then rule over the all. Because you'll realize that you're already in the kingdom. It's right in front of you, and it's ours to rule. The only problem is, the kingdom is in a terrible state. Why? Because people haven't realized that it is the kingdom, and so they aren't taking care of it. They're letting it crumble into ruin. But when we realize that we are the gods of this world, and this is our kingdom, we can begin constructing a magnificent citadel.
Now, this philosophy that you'll find in a lot of Americans today and around the world, but it started in the 60s. You baby boomers. And one group in particular is the driving force behind the New Age movement. The influx of Hindu gurus to America was the beginning of the age of Aquarius, and which has led to the modern day New Age movement. Do you know what group, band that is accredited with the New Age movement in America? The Beatles. So this thought of becoming gods, as God, you are God, or you are the God, I don't know, it's been around for a while. Play the next clip.
Just stand up, hold your arms out like this, and say, the kingdom of heaven is within. I love myself.
The kingdom of heaven is within. I love myself.
No way, better than that. Say, I and God are one. No, wait, better than that. I got the best one. This is the best one. Just say, I am God.
David, I can't say that.
See how little you think of yourself? You can't even say the words.
I am God. I am God.
A little louder, please, with maybe a little more conviction.
I am God. I am. Look, if I'm God, what does that make you?
Well, we always see in others what we see in ourselves. I am God. I am God.
I am God.
I am God.
I am God. I am God.
I am God.
Okay. Got two gods right there on the beach. How about you divide that ocean in front of you, if you're God? Or at least walk on the water. Right? This is where the New Age movement leads people. This is where spiritual will lead in time. But it's even more mainstream than you may realize. Here is a combination of little sayings, little messages from Oprah, probably one of the most powerful women in the world for getting people to listen to her. Play.
And what I hear you saying, feel you saying in this book is that this book isn't about believing. This book is about what you come to know for yourself.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, what you become to feel for yourself.
Yes.
And that what you're saying is that God, in the essence of all consciousness, isn't something to believe. God is.
Yes.
God is. And God is a feeling experience, not a believing experience.
That's right.
And if your religion is a believing experience, if God for you is still about a belief, then it's not truly God.
There are certainly many more paths to God other than Christianity. That what I believe is that Jesus came to show us Christ consciousness. Man made God in his own image. The eternal, the infinite, and unnameable was reduced to a mental idol that you had to believe in and worship as my God or our God. Now, I think that's very eloquently put by Eckhart Tolle in chapter 1, but that is exactly what I was feeling when I was, sitting in church. And you say Eckhart gave you a different way, or reading the book showed you a different way to look at Jesus Christ?
Yes, absolutely.
How so?
I've always tried to find a deeper inner connection with the purpose that Christ had here on earth. And all my life, I thought it was just for him to die on the cross for my sin. But I now recognize that Jesus actually taught me Christ consciousness is who to be fully human.
Hello.
Is to be Christ-like.
Yeah.
And so it's not any time that you not follow your spiritual calling that you are lesser of a human.
Yes, I'm Christian too, and I got that a long time ago. I mentioned this also in this book called Discover the Power Within You by Eric Butterworth, where he talks about the Christ consciousness. And up until then, I was like you, Margit. I thought Jesus came, died on the cross, that Jesus' being here was about his death and dying on the cross, when it really was about him coming to show us how to do it, how to be, to show us the Christ consciousness that he had, and that consciousness abides with all of us.
Yes.
That's what I got.
Yes.
That's what I got.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you.
So supposedly, Oprah grew up in church believing the gospel. Jesus came to die for the sins of the world. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. God commanded his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Right? The suffering servant of Isaiah 53. The one who was pierced in Psalms 22. The one who would come and crush the works of Satan in Genesis chapter 3. The Passover lamb. Oh. Eckhart Tolle, and I'll introduce you here in a second, is her spiritual guru, who's taken Christianity, blended it with some occult practices, blended it with Hinduism, has blended it with psychology, and created this new Christ consciousness. This is strictly out of Hinduism, reaching a higher conscious level. And yes, for those who practice yoga, you are practicing an occult practice straight out of Hinduism. The positions of yoga are you offering your body to the millions of different deities, demonic gods of Hinduism. And it is designed, it's not for health. It's not a health practice. You can't tie Christianity to yoga and make it Christian yoga. It doesn't work. But anyway, this is where spirituality, this New Age movement, takes you, is denying what Jesus came for, denying his very calling and purpose. Basically what this is, pride. You see pride all through these people. Pride because they think they're good. They don't need a Savior. They don't need someone to come and die for their sins because they're pretty good people. They have goodness deep down inside. And what you need to do is allow the goodness to come out. You're really actually quite good in your own nature. Opposing what the Bible says. But there's pride here because they don't want, one, they don't want to admit they're sinful. And two, they don't want to get rid of their sin. So they find a Jesus that is comfortable. A Jesus that will fit their, whatever they want him to be. And they can have a Christ consciousness. They can be like Jesus. But they don't have to be born again, and they don't have to be sanctified, and they don't have to be a disciple. They can skip all that. It's pride. Because they think they're good. Listen, this is Eckhart Tolle right here.
One of the things that really struck us, though, was so many people responded to this. Page 13, you don't become good by trying to be good, but by finding the goodness that is already within you and allowing that goodness to emerge. But it can only emerge if something fundamental changes in your state of consciousness.
Yes. So what that means, if nothing changes in your state of consciousness, the ego has many ideas. It says, I want to be a spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be recognized as a spiritual person.
He goes on, I got hours of this guy, and it just, you better have some painkillers to take when you listen to this guy. Never talks about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, go forth and make disciples. And he talks about being spiritual, a spiritual person. And they think there's goodness in us. And the Bible says our heart is deceitful and wicked. We need a Savior because we do have sin. The New Age says Jesus is an ascended master. Sounds pretty cool, right? Jesus is a wise teacher, they say. Jesus came to show us the Christ consciousness. Have you noticed a trend here? I hope so, because I highlighted in yellow all the way through. All these belief systems claim Jesus is a what? Wise teacher. A divinely sent wise teacher, some of them. An ascended master. A guru. All belief systems out there claim these things about Jesus. Go to the next slide, Levi. You can go to all these and listen to their teachings. Not one will say anything negative about Jesus. Do you realize that? Test it. Go Google it. Google whatever. Boom. And Jesus. What do they believe about Jesus? They're going to come out and, he was a pretty smart guy. Oh, he was a nice guy. Oh, they're going to say all sorts of great things about Jesus. They all call him a great teacher, wise teacher, spiritual teacher, divine teacher. But what have we learned already about Jesus being a good teacher? Remember? C.S. Lewis in his famous book, Mere Christianity, says this. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or he would be the devil of hell. You must take your choice. Either this was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God, but let none of us come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us because Jesus declared himself to be God. And he received worship as God. And he forgave people as only God can. Would a good, wise, divine, enlightened, spiritual, ascended master / teacher do and say the things Jesus did? No. So looking at all these religions, we can learn something from them, though. We can. According to all these world's major religions here, Jesus is one of the ways. A wise spiritual teacher with divine truth. So according to all these belief systems, they claim they are the way. But they also claim Jesus is a way. Would you agree? Would you agree? Yes. Even the Pope believes this. Go to the next slide. Here we go. Pope Francis to children in Singapore. All religions are paths to reach God. They are, to make a comparison, like different languages, different dialects to get there. But God is God for everyone. If you start to fight saying, my religion is more important than yours, mine is true and yours isn't, where will this lead us? There is only one God, and each of us has a language to arrive at God. Some are the Sikh, Muslim, Hindu, Christians. They are different ways to God. We won't even get into this, but they all disagree in their core beliefs about God. They contradict each other. How can they all be teaching the same truth? They're not. crazy, but that's what the Pope says. So, all these world religions say they're the way. But those others out there, well, Jesus, he's a way too. There are many ways to God. That's what they say. Okay? And all these ways out there agree that Jesus is also one of the ways. But what you do not hear from these other things, you don't hear Islam saying anything good about Buddha or Confucius. You don't hear Hindus saying Islam is a way. Right now, they're killing each other over in Asia. Sikhs do not claim the New Age. They don't claim, but they all do say Jesus is the way. They all agree that Jesus is one of the ways. And that we should listen to his teachings. Okay. Let's listen to what Jesus said himself then. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, Jesus says, they all tell us that we should listen. He's a divine teacher sent from God. He's got the truth. But Jesus said, he's it. So there's not many ways to God after all. Only one, Jesus. And all the world religions agree that Jesus taught divine truth. So that settles it right there. Jesus is the only true way to God. Since he was not a liar or a lunatic, according to all the other world religions, none of those other religions say, no, he was a liar, he was a lunatic. No, they said he's a way, he's good, he's a good teacher. Listen to him. Follow his teachings, they said. Okay. He said, I'm it. So all of them agree Jesus is it. Jesus agrees he's it. So who should we listen to? I think it's pretty clear. I think Thomas came to the right conclusion. John 20. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. That's us. Come on up, team. You know, you can say all sorts of things about Jesus, and they all do. But you just can't nitpick and take the parts of Jesus you like, the teachings that you like. You have to take all the teachings. And one of them, Jesus said, I'm it. There are no other ways. He's the only Lamb of God. He's the only one that died for the sins of the world. Confucius didn't. Buddha didn't. Joseph Smith didn't. Muhammad didn't. None of the people out there claiming a different belief system than Jesus has in our scripture, none of them died for you. They all claim that Jesus is a great teacher, divine teacher, and he's one of the ways. But Jesus clarified, he's the only way. So this is something we can talk with people. Because I know you have family members that are spiritual. I know you have family members that maybe don't believe, or they, you know, I don't know what to believe. Everyone says something. You can explain to them, listen, all the world religions say Jesus is a good guy. He's got divine truth. All right, if he's got divine truth, he's a good teacher. What does he teach? You can trust Jesus. We got to be able to engage with people and not be afraid of what other people might believe about Jesus. Keep it simple and keep it on the truth. And Jesus is that truth. Now, as we close, you know, Oprah and others may say that God is not something to believe in, not someone to believe in, but to feel, to experience. Right? No, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Right? Whosoever believes, I mean, you can't get around the There is a God in heaven. There is a God up there. Now, He is omnipresent. But there is a God. There is a Trinity. One God, three distinct persons. It's not a feeling. He's not an experience. He's a reality. God is spirit, but He exists and He's real. And we believe in Him. We believe. We believe in the Father. We believe in the Son. And we believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's stand up and, in defiance of what Oprah and them teach, that He's a feeling or experience, let us proclaim we believe.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe. We believe. This broken generation, with all its dark, You help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptations,
We believe. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the truth. The truth will always stand. And though the world may try to cover it up, the world might try to distort it, the world might try to blend it with their own, the truth remains and stands alone always. It always rises to the top. And you are the truth, Lord. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And I ask you to help us to boldly stand on that foundation, to go out in love and proclaim that with all courage, strength, and passion and zeal that we can muster. Help us to help those who are still in darkness and deceived, maybe by some false religious belief system, New Age movement, just the sin, darkness of sin. Help us, Lord, to take them out, take them to them, the truth. Help us to be salt and light, Lord. Let us go forth as your church this week, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, not ashamed of our Lord and Savior, and let us be true disciples of you. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, Team Jesus, let's break out of here. Let's go be salt and light. Let's go walk as children of the King and His players, His servants, His laborers. Let's go out and get the job done this week. Do it with a smile, because serving God is good. You know the truth. You've been set free. Never forget that. But next week is a really powerful sermon. It'll help us a lot, not only with our own faith, but sharing with others. So I encourage you, don't let anything keep you from coming next Sunday. I really look forward to next Sunday. All right, let's get out of here. Team Jesus, on the count of three, we'll break out of here. One, two, three. Great. Let's go.